Good morning. It's great to come together to worship God. There's about 100 of us here, I guess, this morning. And so you've come to worship with 100 others, worship the Lord. Welcome to those who are joining with us online. I wonder, have you ever bought a new car? Some of you have bought many new cars. Some of you may not. Some of you may have only ever bought one new car. I've only ever bought one new car. There's a sense of excitement connected to this new purchase. You know, you pay a lot of money for this new car. And as soon as you've got this new car, you see them everywhere, don't you? You see the same car, they seem to be everywhere. You never noticed them before, but now they're everywhere. So smooth to drive, they're comfortable. You find yourself thinking about that car even while you're at work. Is that right? Or have you been involved in a team sport? The team's playing exceptionally well. The team trains well together. You're winning most of your games. The finals are coming up. There's a certain excitement that's rising in the team. You find yourself thinking about the game, the team, even when you're at work or at school, that sense of excitement. Well, this married couple on their honeymoon, so excited. After a while, though, the excitement diminishes. The team, it's not the same anymore. They're not doing so well. In fact, it's more like hard work. Enthusiasm has dropped. The car is no longer new. It's become a useful tool to get you from point A to point B. That's about it. Does the marriage become something taken for granted? The excitement has just all dropped away. In this first epistle of Peter, Peter writes to Christians who are living in fear for their lives. They're under great threat of persecution. And in these first few verses, Peter speaks to remind them of who they are in Christ and of their first love for the Lord. He's keen to shift their focus off their troubles and back onto the wonder of God, the wonder of his love for them. Are other things taking your focus at the moment? Do other things excite you a bit more than perhaps they ought? In his initial greeting, Peter reminds his readers that although they are chosen exiles, they're like seed among the nations, living as refugees around the world, they're not forgotten. Their Heavenly Father chose to create and chose to save them. He then says in verse 3, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Jesus wasn't just some charismatic bloke who walked around on the earth and drew people toward himself. He's God's son. And he taught his disciples that God was also their father. God was their father too. What an incredible paradigm shift from being in fear of an unknown God or the God of the Israelites to loving and knowing God as your Father. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know and love God as your dad, as your heavenly Father? I trust you do. But there's no greater privilege for us than to be children of God, adopted into his family. No greater privilege. He's God. He's God, and we're his kids. We're his kids. We're his children. The awesome, the almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present, all-holy, all-merciful God, who spoke and by his word everything was created, who can speak and all would be dissolved in a split second. He's God. There's no greater privilege for us than to be his children. According to his predetermined plan, we're now cleansed through Jesus' blood, sanctified by his Holy Spirit. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. As the Hebrew people were trapped in slavery in Egypt, and the Lord rescued them and delivered them, and as they were exiles, they travelled into what would become the promised land. So the Christians to whom Peter writes are exiles, scattered abroad, scattered around in Turkey. But just as the Lord provided manna for the Hebrew people, God would provide for his people now scattered in Turkey. God will provide for you and I. He'll feed us too. Wonder, are you feeling a bit like an exile? So as travellers just passing through, may we continue to ask the Lord to guide us, to feed us through his word, to provide for us, to protect by his powerful hand. Verse 3. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The mercy, the faithfulness of God is great, according to Peter. Trust according to each one of us. Peter recognizes the amazing mercy of God. The great mercy of God. He doesn't give us what we deserve. You know, Peter... Think about Peter. Peter had failed the Lord on many occasions, yet Peter knew that he was forgiven. Peter wept bitterly, Scripture records. He wept bitterly over his denial of Jesus, yet he knew deep in his heart that Jesus forgave him. And then Jesus gave him a mission to go out and proclaim that this same mercy and forgiveness is available to everyone. I trust that you too appreciate how great God's mercy is for you. Do you stop and reflect at times on the ugliness of your sin? Your motives, your attitudes at times? I hope you do, because then that should lead you to thank God for his mercy, not giving you what you truly deserve. In his great mercy, he's opened up the way for our new birth. As far away from holy as we are now a new creation, radically changed from our old sinful ways of selfishness and self-centeredness, of neglecting other people, of perhaps even abusing others, to being transformed into people who love others and are filled with peace and joy, patience, faithfulness, self-control. We're new creation. And because of God's great mercy, we have a living hope. Peter mentions a living hope, not just hope, but a living hope. Peter declares that God raised Jesus from the dead. We Christians live in the hope that we too will be raised to eternal life. It's not just some fanciful wish, but a living hope. It's real. It's alive. Just as Jesus was raised from the dead, we live with confidence in our own resurrection. We're going to be raised to eternal life. How this must have brought strength to those who were suffering under such persecution. We'll be raised to eternal life. So Peter's focus then is on the future results of being born again. They've left their old way of life, have been radically changed. They now possess a hope that is sure, that is secured in Jesus' resurrection. He writes to people who are suffering, who are suffering in a big way, major, that he seeks to point them forward to an inheritance that can never perish, fade, or spoil, kept in heaven for them. So Peter's desire is to strengthen and encourage his listeners, not by sympathising with them through their troubles and focusing on their present woes, trying to give some meaning to life in an abstract kind of a way, but redirecting them to their future glory, to an inheritance kept in heaven that is sure. An inheritance is something that's received as a result of a personal relationship. You know, you don't leave your estate to someone that you don't know. The inheritance that's waiting in heaven is only available to those who have a personal relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. Without faith in Jesus, that his death has paid the price for your sin, then the glorious inheritance is not yours. And so rather than find your eternal destiny in hell with all of its torment, you can be saved into an eternal and glorious inheritance in heaven through faith in Jesus. Do you want to be saved? If you're not, do you want to be saved? And if you do, then please come and speak with one of us after the service if you're not sure what to do about that. Alternatively, you can go to this website and you can ask Jesus to be your Lord. And we might just take a moment to share in communion. So you might like to get the bread and the cup ready, those who have remembered, those who have brought it. If you haven't brought it, that's fine. You can still commune with the Lord without the emblems. But in communion, we're reminded that we are born again, that we are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And in communion, it also points us to the consummation of our salvation, that is eternity in heaven with our Saviour, with our Father, with our friend. So if you have the bread, let's just pray together before we take that. Father, we thank you for this bread. Whatever it is that we hold in our hand, it might be a biscuit, doesn't matter. Father, we thank you that it reminds us of the sacrifice of Jesus. Jesus dying on the cross for us. We thank you that he was prepared to come to this earth, to live amongst sinners, as just like us, sin, ugliness of sin, all around him. He lived a pure and holy life. And we thank you that his death has paid the price for our sin. And so we take this bread now in grateful adoration. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's eat together. Father, we thank you for this cup, as this cup reminds us of Jesus' blood. Jesus said this, take this bread, take this cup. Father, we thank you that as we take this cup now, we are reminded that Jesus gave his life blood for us. That we are now a new creation. We give you praise and thanks for that. And we also have confidence as we move through this life, the living hope that we have of spending eternity with you. It's not just a wish, a fanciful wish, but Lord, we have confidence. We thank you because you raised Jesus back to victorious life. We too look forward to that day, being raised into eternal life. We give you all praise and thanks now as we drink in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's drink together. You know, we often get caught up in our daily lives focusing on ourselves, our woes, our troubles. And the more that we try to push our way through the mud, the more bogged we tend to get. The more we tend to focus on the woes and the troubles. As children of God, our citizenship is in heaven. Our inheritance is kept securely in heaven for us. Let's endure our present sufferings with the end result in mind. Let's endure the sufferings. Verses 3 to 5. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Remember that you are shielded by God's power, shielded by God's power through faith. Till when? Till tomorrow? Till next week? No, till your salvation is made complete. Shielded by God's power. The word shielded in the Greek carries with it the idea that we are secure within the military fortress of God's protection. Shielded, secure within the military fortress of God's protection. Unlike the walls of Jericho that just came tumbling down, nothing can break through the fortress of God's protection. The overwhelming force of the power of God is ours through faith and obedience. As Peter writes to these Christians, they may have been on the run like refugees, living in danger and uncertainty, but spiritually they're safe and their eternal home is secure. They may have had little to no future here on earth. They may have been struck down and killed the next day, but their future home, their reward was sure. It is incorruptible, says Peter. Incorruptible, unable to be invaded by the enemy. It'll not decay. It won't rot. It's permanent. It cannot be defiled. It's eternal. It'll never wither or become old. You can trust yourself to this. You can trust yourself to the Lord's keeping. He's shielding you. In contrast to their present-day struggle, it's the great hope that they possess. Perhaps Peter recalled Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew 5:12. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. The people to whom Peter writes are being persecuted, but great is your reward. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. Hope can lead to joy even in the midst of difficult circumstances, even in the midst of suffering grief. We can have a joy in our hearts based upon what we anticipate regarding our eternal security. Through faith, we are shielded by God's power until the fulfillment of our salvation. I trust this gives you great hope. So verses 6 to 9. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, which is of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you've not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith. That's the salvation of your souls. Their trials are a present reality. They are going through tough times. But even their suffering is under God's control. God's using this time of testing, is working out his plan and working history towards its good conclusion. Do you believe that God is working toward his good conclusion? He is. All things work together for good. Abraham was tested and found faithful. The Hebrew nation was tested and repeatedly found wanting. Jesus was tested and found faithful. And now Peter cautions his Christian brothers and sisters not to lose hope, not to leave their faith in God. For the test they are to endure will prove the genuineness of their faith, and it'll bring praise and glory and honour to Jesus. And this is always our aim, that God be glorified, that he receive all the praise, the glory, the honour. Thus we are to endure the testing times, the troubles that we face. But there's another side to this praise and honour. If our faith proves genuine as we stand firm and endure suffering until the day of Christ, then we too will hear those words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." They're words of praise from Jesus to us. And if we honour Jesus before men, then he has declared that he will honour us before God. The result is honour. Personally, I'm not too fussed as to whether I receive a crown in glory, but I really do want to hear those words. Well done, my good and faithful servant. I trust that's your heart's desire too, to hear those words. Well done. And so Peter commends them for their faith. Although they've never seen Jesus, they love and believe in him. And the reality of Jesus' presence in their life is evidenced by their inexpressible and glorious joy. Albeit they're going through severe persecution, they have an indescribable joy in their hearts because of who Jesus is and what he's done for them. It's inexpressible because according to their outward circumstances, they shouldn't be joyful. But they are. It's their focus on Christ rather than their circumstances that brings them great joy. Their focus on Christ rather than their circumstances brings them great joy, inexpressible joy. So these are wonderful words from Peter, and they're God's words to us. All that God has done and all of these blessings that Peter mentions are a given on the basis of our proven faithfulness, our love, and our obedience. If we're faithful, if we love him and obey him, then all of these blessings are ours. God's goodness isn't to be taken for granted and just assumed, but gratefully received as we strive to be faithful in love and obedience. The undeserved mercy of God has brought us salvation, has given us hope that is sure, that is certain. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Has your excitement and enthusiasm for the Lord waned? Are other things or circumstances overwhelming you and taking all of your attention? Do other things excite you more than they ought? I encourage you to ponder again these words from Peter. Consider again who God is, what he's done for you. Shift the focus from your present momentary troubles to the future day of glory, to the fulfillment of your salvation. Focus on the cross. Think about who God is and what he's done for you through Christ. For in these things and in God, we can greatly rejoice, regardless of what we're going through. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your great love for us, and we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his sacrifice on the cross. We thank you for your forgiveness. And we thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit, that you are continuing to sanctify us, create us to be more like Jesus. We thank you for all that you've done for us. And Lord, albeit we go through various situations and circumstances in our lives, there are times of suffering and grief. Father, we thank you that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You never change, and your love for us will never die. Thank you for all that you are and all that you've done. May we continue to focus on you and focus on Jesus. Help us to shift the focus off our momentary troubles in life such that we do know that joy in our hearts, again, because of who you are. So we praise you and thank you. Our faith is in Christ alone. We thank you as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.